If you have your Bibles, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Genesis tonight. Genesis chapter number 50 in the Word of God. And I want to continue the thought from this morning. I don't know how far we'll get tonight. I just want to mind the Lord. Genesis chapter number 50. And I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but I do want to pick up tonight. It actually will be going back in the chapter, but I want to pick up tonight down around verse number 16. Verse number 16 in Genesis chapter number 50. The Bible said here, "And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall you say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants." If you can get a picture of this right here, how many remembers in Joseph's dreams earlier in the book of Genesis that his brethren, their sheaves would bow down? You remember that? And it's coming to pass. And the Bible said here they would just be thrilled just to get to live and just to be the servants of Joseph. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not." This is the text. "For am I in the place of God? Am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear you not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them, and he spake kindly unto them. I can't quote the passage verbatim, but the Bible speaks about a word fitly spoken in due season. It's like, what is it, pitchers of apples of silver and pitchers of gold. Is that right? Is that getting close anyway? Amen. They're precious, and they're worth a whole lot. Words that are spoken fitly in a due season are worth a whole lot in the kingdom of God. Joseph dwelled in Egypt, he and his father's house. Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence." And so Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. If correctly read, that's verse, I think, 16 down through verse number 26. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to read the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the good report. I'm glad, Lord, you've got youngins in Panama that are being faithful to the Great Commission. Lord, in so many places it's become the Great Omission. But Lord, it's still the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen when Brother Bosco gets here. God, I just got a feeling down in my heart we might get to have a little part. Those 20 million people, Lord, on that island. God, I just pray you'll lead the way. God, I ask you tonight, our Lord, to help us, Lord, just to make a difference where we are. God, help us, Lord, to continue, as this church has done so wonderfully for years, to send missionaries around the globe with the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Lord, help us not to just send missionaries. Help us to be a missionary right here at home. Help us, Lord, when we're in the restaurant to realize, Lord,
All that person might need is a word fitly spoken in due season. Help us, Lord, when we're down at the hospital. Realize, Lord, a lot of those dear folk are under pressure, a great deal of pressure. Help us out the job, Lord. Realize, our Father, that just like when Joseph spoke these kind words to his brethren, it made a difference. God, we can make a difference in our lives as well. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd take the message, use it for thy glory. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. This morning I spent the time on the first part of this message, am I in the place of God? Am I in the place of God when it comes to the faith? Of course, you know the answer to that is no. I'm not in the place of God. I cannot tell you whether you're in the faith or not. But I guarantee you there's a God in heaven that will let you know. Amen? By faith, Joseph, when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and he gave commandment concerning his bones. Let me say something. God gave me something this afternoon on the way to Johnson City. I don't know if I can remember those statements, but we made a statement along these lines this morning. You can look the part, look like a child of God, and act the part, and talk the language of the part, and be as lost as a ball in high weeds. I said that this morning. You remember that? And then I said, there's times in our lives when we can get away from the Lord and actually be a child of God, but be acting like a heathen. Amen? Acting like when David acted like he was acting like a heathen. Amen? He could have any woman in the kingdom. And he took somebody else's wife. And he paid a great price. Say amen right there. There's forgiveness for sin, but there's consequences for sin as well. That's not being preached much these days. Amen? But let me say this. God gave me something as I was going to Johnson City today, and I was thinking about those two statements. So in other words, you can look the part and act the part and not be real. Or you can at times, maybe you're not looking the part, maybe you're not acting the part, and actually be a child of God. The thing of it is, I want you to know God knows. Amen? But let me tell you the best case scenario. Look the part, walk the part, talk the part, and be real. That's the best case scenario, amen. How many's glad there was somebody like that in your life before you got saved? I mean, you just knew they were the real deal. They had the goods, amen. They were the same, Brother Ryan, on Monday morning as they was on Sunday morning. Oh, God, help us, amen. I mean, as a church, help us to be real. Whether we're at school or on the job or wherever we are, amen, just help us to be real. Help us to be real. And so, when we're talking about the faith, I said, am I in the place of God? Joseph said, am I in the place of God? The answer to that's no. Now, the second thing I want to bring to you in the message, and I could preach a while longer on that first one. That's good enough. You got how God's dealing in my heart. Joseph was real. How do you know, preacher? Because God said he was. The Bible said, by faith, Joseph. That's good enough for me right there. Amen. I just want to say this to you tonight, church. Listen to me carefully. The day that the Word of God is not good enough for me is the day I'm in deep trouble. Somebody said, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. There's a problem with that statement. God said it, and that settles it. It don't make no difference whether you and I believe it or not. It's still settled. As a matter of fact, it's forever settled. In heaven. Amen. It's just my advantage to believe it. Amen. And so tonight, I'm trying to get off of that and go on tonight. The second thing I want you to see tonight, we'll have to back up in the chapter to see it, but am I in the place of God, number one, when it comes to the faith? The answer, of course, is no. But what about when it comes to the field? I'm giving it to you just exactly like God gave it to me. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Well, go back in verse number 1, and Joseph fell upon his father's face. Matter of fact, I think I need to back up here just a minute. Let's get over here in chapter 49 for just a moment. Watch this now. In verse number 29 of chapter 49, and he charged them, and he said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite. In the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, and in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed, and he yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Now, wait a minute. There's something important here. I'll show you something. And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And you come on down, and it said, Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him. And so they're fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. 70 days of mourning. Think about that. The Egyptians. Joseph and Jacob and his brethren had left such an impact on the Egyptians that the Egyptians mourned. Think about that. The Egyptians are mourning. I'm just going to stop right here and make a statement. The first church I ever pastored, I was there 5.5 years. It was in Wise County, Virginia. And when I left, I'm just going to tell you something real quickly. There were more sinners mourning because I left than there was saints. You know what I think? I think that's a pretty good testimony. God had let me leave a mark in that community. They wasn't like me. They wasn't saved by the grace of God, but they sure hated to see me go. What about you and I? Shouldn't we leave a mark in our community? Shouldn't we leave a mark down there where we work, where we go to school? Shouldn't you and I leave a mark that even an Egyptian would be sorry when we leave out? Help me tonight. The Egyptians mourned. Now watch this tonight. Stay with me. We're going somewhere. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake into the house of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, my father made me swear, saying, lo, I die in my grave, which I digged for me in the land of Canaan. There shalt thou bury me. Now, therefore, let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. I love those words. I underlined them. And Pharaoh said, go up and bury thy father, according as he made thee swear. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of the house, the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph, and his brethren, and his father's house, only their little ones and their flocks and their herds they left in the land of Goshen. I'll try to be simple. I'm just a simple preacher. But am I in the place of God when it comes to the faith? Joseph said that. The answer's no. Am I in the place of God when it comes to the field? You say, preacher, where's the application here? I'll get to that in a minute. The field he's talking about is the field where Jacob, or Israel if you please, is to be buried. In other words, that was not Joseph's decision. All that Joseph was doing after his father Jacob died was carrying out the will of his father. Now you say, preacher, how does that apply to you and I? Am I in the place of God? Can I tell you where your position is in the ministry? The answer to that is no. Can I tell you what your position is in the church? The answer to that is, somebody help me. No. But I tell you, there's a God in heaven, and we need to get interested in carrying out His will in His field, in His way, in His time. There are saints of God that are saved and live and die and never get in the field that God wants them to be in. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. Well, I'm just trying to help you tonight. It seems like in our generation, and it's been going on for a while, that there are men that have these wonderful capabilities to tell everybody what they ought to be doing. Say amen. He said, preacher, why has God got you burdened with this? Because I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not in the place of God. You've got a place in the field, and you're going to have to get with God and find out where your place is in the field. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, the Bible said there, I thought about this. To God. Over there in the book of Ruth, the Bible said that Ruth went out there to glean. How many remembers? And the word of God said her hap was to fall on a part of the field belonging to Boaz. Hey, it didn't just happen. Hallelujah. God had a hand in it. Amen. God had a hand in it. Now let me say something to you tonight. Listen to me carefully. I'm not being a smart aleck. But if my Lord didn't put me in this field, I wouldn't be standing here. I don't have much time left on this planet. And I sure don't want to be standing in a field where I don't belong. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, church, listen, thank God for every one of you, every one of you. But I'm telling you, we need every one of you. We need all of us. To find our place in the field. I would to God that I had that gift, that I could tell you what your gift is and where you belong in the field. But I'm going to tell you something right now. That's between you and the Father. Say amen right there. And we need to seek His will. And my friend, I thank God that Joseph, listen, he said, am I in the place of God? I want you to know tonight, listen to me. If you get in the wrong field, God will let you know. How many knows God's got a way of setting your barley field on fire when you get in the wrong field? Say amen. But if you're in the right field, thank God Almighty, He'll let you know for the glory of God. And tonight, Joseph said, am I in the place of God? When it comes to the faith, I can't tell. Joseph couldn't either, except concerning himself. When it comes to the field, I can't tell. And Joseph couldn't either. Except concerning the will of his father. You know what I believe Joseph did? He did exactly what Jacob wanted him to do. You know something tonight? You know what God wants us to do? Listen to me carefully right here. A pastor is a leader. A pastor is somebody to lead the sheep. A pastor is somebody to feed the sheep. Right? A pastor is somebody, remember the message church, that needs the sheep. Remember that Wednesday night? But let me tell you one more thing about the pastor. He's somebody to protect the sheep. Oh, preacher, God put you in a field and He wants you to protect the sheep. Somebody help me. You better believe it. You better believe it. You better believe it. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. We're coming up on a year anniversary. As far as I know, everybody still loves me. But you'll get over it. Amen. You say, well, thank you, brother. Amen. Amen. In other words, there's an anniversary edition. Say amen. We're coming upon that anniversary. But let me tell you something right now you're going to find out. In the Bible, Jesus was not always gentle. Jesus is full of mercy. He's full of compassion. He's full of gentleness. You say, preacher, you name me one time when Jesus was not gentle. Let me name it for you. How many remembers it? In the temple. He came in and they turned the house of prayer into a den of thieves. He turned the tables over. He made a scourge of small cord. He didn't get up and give a speech. This is free of charge. He didn't have a teleprompter. He didn't get up and say, would y'all please leave? He made a scourge, a whip, and He drove them out of the house of God. That's a sign of Jesus that's not being preached or believed in this generation. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Let me just say this to you tonight. There'll be times, amen. How many realizes if you're a father? Let me say something to you. Listen to me carefully, fathers, right here. Listen to me carefully. How many understands there's times when you need to be a father more than you need to be a friend? Now you can be both. Somebody say amen. But we're living in a generation that's teaching that the most important thing is to be a friend. I'm going to tell you something right now. My Heavenly Father wants to be my friend, but that's up to me. Say amen. He's my Father. And if I need to be corrected, He'll correct me. Amen. And I believe when God puts you in that field, I know He put me here. And I'm here. Amen. No problems. But I'm just telling you tonight, God spoke to my heart about that field. Am I in the place of God? You all cooperated with the Lord when I came here. That's all I can tell you. Amen. And I thank God for that. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You all didn't put it in my heart. How many knows I said it right? God put it in my heart. And I believe with all of my heart tonight, Joseph, as we study this text, he's saying, am I in the place of God when it comes to the faith? The answer is no. Am I in the place of God when it comes to the field? Can I say you belong here and you belong here and you belong here? No, the shepherd knows his sheep. Amen. All of us don't have the gift to sing. Somebody say amen. If you don't believe that, let me sing you one after a while. Amen. I don't have that gift. Amen. But I tell you something right now. I believe God knows what gift you have, and He'll reveal it to you if you want to know it, and you can be used in that field. Amen. Brother Jimmy, I'll guarantee you, brother, that, listen, there are many people that are getting in on a blessing around here. But God may have used you tonight. If it just spoke to one more, it said, hey, I'm going to take part in this field around here. I'm going to go see if I can reach one of them youngins. I'm going to go see if I can get one of them wayward teenagers. I'm going to go see if I can get that dope addict. I'm going to go see if I can get somebody to Jesus. Amen. If God just spoke to one, that testimony's worth it all. Amen. A place in the field. By faith. By faith. Let me give you this tonight. And I'll close out for tonight. Not only, I believe this is important tonight. I may get done here in just a minute. Am I in the place of God when it comes to the faith? The answer is no. Am I in the place of God when it comes to the field? The answer is no. In other words, you might say, well, preacher, what are you saying? Are you saying you're not in the faith? No, you're not paying attention if you think that's what I said. I'm saying I can't say that for you. I can't be your God. Your God is in heaven. And I can't tell you where you belong in the field, but your God, your Father, can tell you exactly where you belong in the field. But watch this now. Here's my third thing. Am I in the place of God when it comes to forgiveness? The brethren came, Brother Michael, to Joseph. The Bible doesn't say this, but they're fearful. Amen? They're concerned. That's a light word to use right here. Probably a better word would be worried. What might happen? As a matter of fact, I told you this morning, not only were they concerned, but Jacob was concerned about what might happen after that he left the scene between Joseph and his brethren. And in the context, when they come down right here, Jacob, he told him, say, I pray you, forgive us. And they're a little bit fearful, and they're a little bit hesitant. But here's where Joseph uses the statement. He said, am I in the place of God? In other words, listen to me carefully. Everybody listen to me carefully right here. I'm not your judge. I'm not the one who decides who gets forgiveness and who don't. Say amen. That happens over there with the Catholics. And they're about the same everywhere you go to, Brother Jimmy. Amen. But listen. Joseph is saying here, let me just read it in its context. It's important to get this right. The Bible said here, the brethren fell down before his face. They said, behold, we be thy servant. And Joseph said unto them, I love these words. Glory to God. There's another type of Jesus. Remember when Jesus stepped in, he walked in the room. You remember that? After he rose from the dead and they were assembled behind closed doors. Somebody tell me what he said. He said, be not afraid. What did Joseph say? Fear not. Here he goes again. He's a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, don't be afraid. Well, that tells me right there that there must have been something in their voice. There must have been something in their face that was reflecting that they were afraid. But as for you, watch this. You thought evil against me. Watch this. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Now listen to me carefully tonight. Listen to me carefully. We stay around here long. We have church long. There's going to be people come through them doors with some pretty rough backgrounds. Help me, church. Well, you know what I believe? I believe there are churches in Kingsport that would say, hey, if God forgive you, come on in. Say amen. And there are churches in Kingsport, if somebody comes in, ain't nothing but an old sinner. Amen. Involved in this sin or that sin. Oh, you say, preacher, we can take any sin except them gross sins. I'm glad God didn't spell it out like that. And so, as a man, he don't claim to be nothing. A woman don't claim to be nothing. Just an old sinner. You know how sinners get saved by grace? They hear the Word of God. Amen? And the Holy Ghost deals with their heart. Amen? But I'm telling you this tonight. There are people in churches all across this land that say, hey, we don't care what God did. We're not going to forgive you. But Joseph said, am I in the place of God? When it comes to forgiveness, how many knows the answer to that is no. I'll say this to you tonight. Read it in your Bible. There are sins in the Bible God calls an abomination. How many knows that? How many knows this? One of them's a proud look. Yeah. How many knows this? He that soweth discord among the brethren. Oh, when I say abomination, everybody's got that nailed down right quick. Amen. And I tell you what, as long as I'm pastor around here, we'll keep nailing that one down. Sodomy is an abomination before God. You say, preacher, you can't preach like that. I just did, and I'll keep on till Jesus comes. You say, preacher, they'll take the church. They might. But they can't take Jesus. They can't take my joy. They can't take the Word of God. You say, preacher, they can't take your Bible. I thank God I got enough of it hidden in my heart to do me till He comes. They can't take that. Lady in our church down at Liberty used to pass out little bags with bears in them and little poems in them. And the title of this little poem, one of them is, What Cancer Cannot Do. Every family in here, no doubt, has been touched by cancer in some way or another. But thank God there's some things cancer cannot do tonight. There's some things, thank God, that this government cannot do tonight. Hallelujah! Cannot do. Forgiveness. Over there in the Bible, there was a man that was committing incest with his stepmother. How many knows the story? Over there in the book of Corinthians. Listen to me carefully, church. I'm going to get down here where we live now here just a minute. Okay, you ready? Listen to me carefully. And the church, Brother Greg, was making a big mistake. They just ignoring it. They just acted like it wasn't even going on. Let me tell you something, church. Let me tell you something, Dad. Let me tell you something, Mom. Because I love all of us. Amen. It's wrong for any of us to ignore sin. It's wrong to ignore it. It's wrong for me to ignore it in my own life. But listen to me carefully now. Listen to me. They were just ignoring it. They were just going on like nothing was wrong. How many's been around the church long enough to know what goes under the rug crawls back out? How many's been around long enough to know that? You can sweep it under the rug, but it's still alive under there. And the only way to get it taken care of is get it out. Amen? Get it confessed, get it forgiven. Let me stop right there and say this. If it's private, just between you and God, that's where it needs to stay. If it's two individuals, if it's between me and Brother Wayne, then Brother Wayne, we need to get it right, but that's where it needs to stay. But if it's public, help me. Then right up here we come to get our heart right with God and with the church. Let me just say this to you. In the early church, how many remembers this statement? There was great grace. How many remembers that? But how many remembers this statement? There was great fear. People was afraid to run their mouth. People was afraid. I mean, you ask Ananias and Sapphira what it got them. Say amen. Tonight, am I in the place of God when it comes to forgiveness? The answer to that's no. But I'll tell you something tonight. When pastor knows about something, pastor ain't going to just sweep it under the rug. And I'm going to tell you something about your pastor. Anything that he ever does will not be to get rid of someone. It will be to restore someone in the spirit of meekness. He said, preacher, I don't understand why this is coming out, because it's right here. Am I in the place of God? No. Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, you've got to deal with this. Turn such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the soul may be saved in the day of judgment. He said, you cannot bury this and act like it's not happening when it's happening. And don't get all tore up. I'm preaching tonight, amen? And I'm just giving us an overall of the truth that sometimes things need to be dealt with in love, with the right motive. So here comes the church, and they listened to Paul, Sister Jennifer, and they disciplined him. Boy, they're proud that they had now. And then you come into 2 Corinthians. Those of you that study your Bible, you know what it's going to... You come into 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, and they won't have nothing to do with him. But the man has repented. And Paul said, listen, he's going to be swallowed up with overmuch grief. You ought to receive him. That was supposed to be the whole idea of the discipline, was to restore. And I believe with all of my heart tonight, am I in the place of God? Who would I be tonight if somebody looked at me and said, Pastor, would you forgive me? Who would I be to say, nope, sorry, no can do? Who would I be tonight? When I think about how he's forgiven me, who would I be to reject that tonight? Who would we be as a parent if one of our youngins come and said, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Who would we be to step back? By the way, I just need to get this right here. Listen to me carefully, Mom and Dad. How many moms and dads are listening? I'm trying to help us tonight. Listen to me carefully right here. I've learned this by doing the wrong thing. You learn a lot about parenting. Everybody can tell you how to raise kids till theirs become teenagers. All of a sudden, we figure out we're not the expert that we thought we was. I'll tell you something right now. Mother and Dad, listen to me carefully right here. Sometimes, I said sometimes, in my life, it's true. I know it's true. Everybody knows just about that's been around here any length of time some of the trouble that my oldest daughter got into. And it ain't pretty. But I tell you what, it's left a mark. But she's still my daughter. And I still love her. Listen to me carefully. If we're not careful, very, very careful, we get upset about our children. And it's not so much about what they did or didn't do, but it's about how it made us look in the process. Help me, church. Brother Larry, when you're a pastor and your youngins don't do right, I tell you, you want your youngins to do right, but I'm telling you, you can have the wrong motive for wanting your youngins to do right. And you can have the wrong motive for trying to get your youngins to do right. You say, "Preacher, I don't understand." Let me tell you this. When I'm more concerned about how I'm looking in this ordeal than my youngin having sweet fellowship with Jesus and walking in the will of the Lord, can I tell you, when I'm more concerned what I'm full of, you ain't gonna like this, but I'm full of pride. Because it's making me look bad. It's making the ministry look bad. Amen. But I'll tell you something tonight. We need to realize when our youngins are doing right, He deserves the glory. We don't get no credit for that. But when they're not doing right, we've got to remember, church, we've got to remember. They need a father. They need a mother. They need a pastor that's not just going to pet them while they're doing wrong, but will try his best to help them to get back to a place of fellowship with God. I dare say that in this congregation tonight, there are some what we call old-timers that will never be guilty of petting this preacher while he's doing wrong. Somebody say amen. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Surely to God you love me more than that. Surely to God, if you saw me doing wrong, you love me more than just to sweep it under the rug and act like it ain't even happening. Surely you love me more than that. But surely you love me enough that you wouldn't go talk to another. You'd come talk to me. Years ago, I heard a song. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to give you some of the lyrics. It said, "Go and tell Jesus on me when my faults and failures you see. If you are my brother, don't go tell another. Go and tell Jesus on me." Joseph here asked the question, "Am I in the place of God when it comes to forgiveness?" How many remembers the story? And I can't get it just right, Brother Brian. You're real good at them numbers and all, but it's over in the New Testament about that man. He was forgiven a debt that was way up there. I can't remember the numbers yet. But then he was forgiven all that debt. And then he turned around. Somebody owed him just a little bit. And the Word of God said he took him, Brother Ted, by the throat and commanded him, "Pay me." We're more like that than we want to admit. We've been forgiven. And we ought to be like Joseph. Say amen. And speak kindly. Amen. Joseph said, "You meant it for evil." How many's experienced this in your home? You know good and well the enemy meant it for evil. But when it was all said and done, it was just a joy to see your Savior turn it around in His face and make something wonderful out of it. You know what I believe? I believe if we'll take this message to heart and mind and understand that we're not God, I believe it'll go a long ways towards just keeping this real sweet spirit that we have and just loving one another. And brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself also. How many realizes that your children are capable of anything that somebody else's children are capable of? I was thinking this afternoon, Sister Danita and Brother Rick, about Brother Jack. No doubt he was preaching over in the other building. And Mandy must have just been a baby. Because Brother Jack, on the first tape I picked up of Brother Jack preaching, he said something along these lines. I may not get it exactly right. But he said, "Oh, she's beautiful right now, Danita, but she'll grow up." Well, I think she's still beautiful. But what Brother Jack was saying is, right now she's stepping on your toes. But unless God helps her, she'll be stepping on your heart. How many knows I'm telling it right there? Brother Rick, you want her to stay on your toes, don't you, brother? You don't want her to step on your heart. Amen. Mandy, I hope that didn't offend you, honey. I couldn't help it. It just come to me. Amen. But it's the truth. We think about our little youngins and we think we've got it all figured out. Then they grow up and we begin to think, rut-row. Amen. I need God. I need help. And I want you to know tonight, it doesn't matter what sin somebody's guilty of. If God's forgiven them, who am I? Let me just say this. If God hasn't forgiven them, how in the world are they ever going to be forgiven? How many believes it's possible to love a sinner and hate sin all at the same time? How many believes that's the way the Lord treated us? He loved us, but He hated sin all at the same time. Am I in the place of God? The answer tonight is no. I'm not going to grab nobody by the throat tonight. But I tell you what I will do. I'll get you by the hand. If the Holy Ghost will help me, I'll get you by the heart. Somebody told an old preacher one time, said, "You got all over my toes." He said, "That just proves one thing." They said, "What, preacher?" He said, "I'm a bad aim." He said, "I wasn't aiming for your toes. I was aiming for your heart." I heard a preacher years ago say this. I've never forgotten it. He said the reason so many preachers get up every Sunday morning and they got to get something off their chest, he said they just don't have enough on their heart. I hope the Holy Ghost of God has revealed to my precious people that this is not something I've gotten off my chest, but I've gotten off of my heart. He loves us tonight with an everlasting love. He wants to help us. He wants your youngins to make it. The pastor wants your youngins to make it. He wants my youngins to make it. The pastor wants my youngins to make it. I want our families to make it. Say amen. But I'm going to tell you tonight, am I in the place of God? The answer is no. Well, preacher, can't we get some counsel? Sure. It hadn't been long ago. The man and his wife asked me to pray with them about a job. A change, a big change. I'm going to tell you, I'm not one of these preachers that goes in there and says, "Here's what you need to do." I'm not, Brother Gary. But I'm going to pray with them. And I'm going to trust God to lead them. And guess what? If they make a mistake, I'm going to be right there to try to help them up. Amen. It ought to be the same way with our kids. Pray with them. Pray for them. They're not always going to get it just right. But we got to be there for them. Amen. We got to be there for them. Am I in the place of God? When Jesus reacted the way He did in the temple, what we need to understand is He was protecting the house of God. There may come a day, I pray it don't even come, Jesus comes first. But there may come a day when somebody would sit there and question Pastor's spirit and why that he preaches what he preaches, or why that he said what he said, or why he acted like he acted or did what he did. But I want you to know this. I love the sheep. And the shepherd is not just to feed the sheep. And the shepherd is not just to lead the sheep, though that's very important. Sheep need a shepherd. The shepherd needs the sheep. But the shepherd. What did the Bible say? Give me that thing there, brother. That crook again. That crook. That hook. That cane. You know what it is. Amen. Somebody tell me what the hireling does when the wolf comes in. Somebody tell me what the shepherd does. Say amen. The hireling's gone. And the wolves take over. Amen. But the shepherd, he lays in the gate. Amen. And he protects his sheep. So here's how it'll be judged. Is it going to hurt the sheep? If it is, it'll have to be dealt with. I could use a lot more amens right there. If it's going to hurt the sheep, it'll have to be dealt with. Amen. There's two extremes. One extreme is like the church at Corinth. It goes on. You don't do nothing. Just act like it ain't even happening. The other extreme is, get them out of here. But in the middle, it's a balance. We want to restore them in the spirit of meekness. Considering the whole time, it's the grace of God, it ain't me. It's the grace of God, it's not my youngins. It's the grace of God, it's not my grandchildren. Amen. How many is glad you come to church today? How many believes that's right? Am I in the place of God? No. Joseph wasn't either. And he knew it, didn't he? Amen. I thank God that God can take this Bible, and speak to our hearts. Amen. And help us. Help us. How can you find Joseph? In Genesis, it's easy. But in Hebrews, it's easy. And in Exodus, it's still easy. There he is. Kind of like Jesus. You can find him in Genesis. You can find him in Hebrews. You can find him in Exodus. You can find him all over the Word of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here in the service tonight. It is my prayer, Lord, that we here at the Bible Way would realize, our Father, that there are times when you'll have to deal with us because you love us. It's not because you hate us, it's because you love us. God, that we would realize that, Lord, there may come a day when wolves would try to come in among the sheep. God, I pray that tonight you would give us the fortitude that Jesus had. That ever takes place, Lord, to deal with it. Not, Lord, because we're somebody, but because, Lord, you're somebody. Because, Lord, your people, your sheep are important to you. God, I pray tonight, Lord, as Joseph said, am I in the place of God? God, that you'd help me. Help me to walk humbly with my God tonight. Help me to realize, our Father, tonight, what's at stake. God, there's so much at stake. Help us tonight, Father, to realize how much you love us, how much you care for us, and how much you want to help us, our Lord, in these days. Father, tonight, give us wisdom. Lord, when Solomon, he got that request granted, the most important thing he could have asked for, God, you gave it to him. God, give us wisdom. Help us, our Father, everything that we do. Please help us to do it like Jesus would do it. To do it in the spirit that Jesus would do it in. Whether it's a spirit of kindness like we read about Joseph. No wonder, Lord, you said to be angry and sin not. Because, Lord, there's some things that ought to just make God's people angry. the thought, Lord, of those that live in sin having free reign in the house of God. It ought to anger us tonight. God, this is your house. It's a house of prayer. It's a house where the sheep meet. It's a house, Lord, where you speak to our hearts. God, we pray you'd help us as much as possible, Lord, just to keep the house clean. So, God, you can work in our hearts and in our lives, in our families, in our youngins. Help us, Lord. God, we'll give you glory.